The motto of my ministry has been since I was a young preacher, and it's been a long time since I was a young preacher, but my motto for my ministry has been for nearly 40, well, I took this motto probably after I've been preaching a couple of years, for about nearly 40 years, the motto of my ministry has been, I will not use my people to build my work, but I will use my work to build my people. And so tonight, I have no desire to try to salvage a work. I have no desire in my sermon to try to help this church only as it's a tool to help individuals. But I have a tremendous desire to help you. And I believe what I'm going to teach tonight can be a great help to you. You see, every person here is a potential follower of error. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Galatians, and he said, if any man come to you and preach not this doctrine, let him be accursed. That means treat him like he's unsaved. That means don't yoke up with him. He said, if an angel from heaven come to you, now that's possibly true because Satan was once an angel, and he drew one-third of angels, heaven's angels with him when he fell or was cast from heaven. He said, if an angel from heaven come and preach any other doctrine than that other than that you have heard, let him be accursed. And then it shocks me when the Apostle Paul, perhaps the greatest Christian who ever lived, it shocks me when he says, if I come, if I, the Apostle Paul, come and preach unto you any other doctrine other than that ye have been taught, let me likewise be accursed, or be anathema, or treat me as an unsaved person. With that as a background, I want to help you tonight. I have seen too many people led astray, and they were innocently led astray by guilty parties. Good people led astray by bad people. You know what I'm trying to say. None of us is good, and I understand that. There's none as good but one, and that's me. I want to tell you a little story tonight. We read about it a while ago, and I want you to listen carefully, and I want to try to help you. Because many good people one time sat in these pews that no longer sit here. Many good people one time went to Hiles Anderson College that no longer go. And they were not bad people. They were led astray by someone who was making a serious mistake, and they made a serious mistake. And I'd like to try to prevent that from happening to you, not because I'm trying to salvage an institution, but because I'm trying to salvage you for the cause of Christ and for a life that's fruitful and abundant. We mentioned last Sunday night a story about the school of the prophets when they were building a building. Tonight we come again to talk about that same school of the prophets under the president of that school and founder, Brother Elisha. The students of the school were out gathering something for food to make some pottage. One student, now get this, one student made a mistake and gathered something he should not have gathered that should not have been in the pottage. When they sat down to eat, somebody noticed it and said, there's death in the pot. Now, it does not say there's poison in the pot. I've got a sermon I've preached in colleges around America, including our own. I preached it at Tennessee Temple. I think I preached it at Maranatha. I preached it at a college out in Virginia. And I think a Free Will Baptist college of some kind. But anyway, I preached it called There's Poison in the Pot. I was rebuked when I read that in the scripture. It didn't say there's poison in the pot. It says there's death in the pot. Now, somebody said there's death in the pot because this wrong kind of plant had been gathered by one person placed there. They called the man of God and Elisha. And Elisha said, pour some meal in the pot. They poured some meal and a miracle took place and the pottage was worth eating. Now I want to say seven things tonight about this story, and I really want you to give me a hearing tonight because I believe I can really help you. Number one, it's amazing what one person can do who brings in error. It's absolutely amazing what one person, the harm that one person can do when he brings in error. All these students, and I don't know how many hundreds of them there were, but all these students didn't bring in this wrong kind of a berry or fruit. Only one did. And the entire pottage was poisoned because of one person. Listen to me. One person that brings in error. I want you not to take notes. I want you to listen right this way. I want you to freeze your eyes right this way now. Look right this way. I want to try to help you, and I can't help you if you're going to act like you're in class. I want you to act like you're in church. And so let me give an illustration. I know one man, and I'm not talking, you probably don't even, you're going to say, I know who he's talking about. Well, you're wrong. But I'm going to say it anyway. I know one man. I could call his name, and of course I will not, nor even give a hint as to who he is, and you won't guess it. I know one man that brought error into an organization here in this church, one of our organizations. I know of over 20 people that followed that man and his error, and not one of those 20 people is serving God today. Now, the tragedy is not what the man did to this organization. The organization keeps on going. This church can be going when you and I both are gone, all are gone. But the tragedy is what it did to those 20 people. I know one man, a student, a former student at Hiles Anderson College, who brought some false doctrine, some heresy into Hiles Anderson College. Listen to me. I know 7 students at Hiles Anderson College lost to the cause of Christ totally because they followed that one man. Ladies and gentlemen, follow the flow of the majority of good folks. Let's say it again. Follow the flow of the majority of good folks. If Dr. Evans and Brother Hiles and Brother Jorgensen and Brother Young and all people like that who are leaders, if they agree on something, you're better to follow the flow than one person that brings in some wacky doctrine. You see, follow the flow of majority of good folks. Now, by the way, if you have the slightest inclination tonight that I'm trying to condemn this one man or these people, no way. I'm trying to help you from being a casualty. One student, Hiles Anderson College, got a hold of a book that had some heresy in it, and a couple of evangelists had some heresy. They weren't Baptists, and had some heresy, and followed that. 7 students were affected. Now, those students were sincere. They weren't bad kids. They were good, fine people. But they got wrapped up in one doctrine. I want to say this after a while again, but you avoid one issue people. Don't you be following one issue people. But anyway, these 7 students lost to the cause of Christ. I could call off all 7 of them. Not a one of them serving God. All of them were volunteers for full-time Christian service. Not a one of them is full-time. And this has been years ago. Not a one's in full-time Christian service. Now, Hiles Anderson College has marched on. So I'm not preaching this to salvage Hiles Anderson College. I'm preaching this because I love those 7 young people affected by this one man. I'm thinking right now of one man who has been responsible in the ministry of this church through the years. I'm thinking of one. I could name 30 people who followed a one-issue person, one-doctrine person. You say, how do I know the kind of person that every time you get one, they bring up the same scriptures? You see, the Bible's got 66 books in it. See, not just one, and not just one chapter, not just one part of one chapter. You see, they'll want to get you aside and say, let me show you some scriptures, and they'll show you the same ones they showed you last time. And I can, and the tragedy, and it's a tragedy, I could name 30 good people that followed that one man that are not in the cause of Christ now at all. I'm not trying to hurt that one man. I wouldn't. If you knew me well, you know I wouldn't hurt anybody. I mean that. I wouldn't hurt anybody. But good night. I've called off tonight 20 and 7 and 30, 57 people lost to the cause of Christ, all because they followed one person who was a one-issue type person. I want to say 3 things. So first, I've already said them, really. One, I said, it doesn't hurt the institution as much as it hurts the followers of the one man. That's the tragedy. Number two, by the way, I say this too. If you don't believe it, you check them out. Just check the people out. They're lost to the cause of Christ. Why? Because they did not follow the flow of the majority of good people. Let me go on down to point number two. I said number one, it's amazing what one person can do who brings an error. It's amazing what this one person, this one student at this one college did. Elisha, it was called Howells Anderson Middle East College. And this one student, everybody didn't bring in this wild berry, just one student did. Everybody didn't bring in this thing that caused the potties to be poisoned and to have death in it, just the one student did. And it's amazing what one person can do. Number two, it's amazing what a truth, the harm that one person, follow this, it's amazing the harm that one person can do who has a truth with the spirit of error. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. It's amazing what one person can do who has a truth with the spirit of error. Not only am I supposed to bear the truth, but I'm supposed to bear the truth with the right kind of spirit. A lot of folks have a right position but a bad disposition. Don't misunderstand me. I'd rather a fellow have the right position and a bad disposition than the right disposition and the bad position. I'd rather a fellow do right wrongly than wrong rightly. But that doesn't mean we're supposed to do wrong rightly. So you watch out. It's amazing what one person can do who brings in error. It's amazing what one person can do who brings in truth with the spirit of error. Illustration. I was preaching out west. A church I'd been in, I think I mentioned this at the college the other day. I don't mention it here. I don't know. But I'd been there for years. I think I'd been going to that church over 30 years. Not every year, but once every two or three years. And I loved and still do love the pastor as much as any pastor where I preach around the country. I felt at liberty to preach exactly what I believed. I was to preach on a Tuesday morning, and following that, they're going to have an offering and a song, and I was to preach again. Normally, I wouldn't do that because I love this man so much. I was willing to do it. I preached one sermon. Within 15 minutes, I was to preach another sermon. I preached the one sermon. 800 people there, 90 preachers. When I finished preaching, the pastor got up, and I thought the fellow was agreeing with everything I said. And he said, "Folks, I have to tell you this. I love Brother Hiles, but I don't agree with what he said this morning." And he began to took about 5 minutes and tore down step by step what I'd said in my sermon. And he said, I want you to know that Brother Hiles is my friend, but what he said this morning is wrong. Now, what I had said that morning, by the way, had to do with our convictions, our standards, our soul-winning position, and so forth. Now, wait a minute. I saw a preacher the other day who was there that morning, and he said, "Boy, those of us who were on your side couldn't wait till you got up for that second sermon, because we knew you'd tear that guy up." But the truth is, I didn't tear that guy up. I was behind his pulpit, not mine. I was in a building he had built, and I had not built. Those were his people, not my people. I wasn't there to destroy. I was there to build up. And so what I did, I preached the second sermon. I said to the people, I said, "Now, folks, you heard what he said." And I said, you follow him. He's your pastor. I'm not here to divide this church. I wouldn't come and divide this church. That night, I preached again, closed it out on Tuesday night. I didn't hurt him at all. Because it is wrong to preach truth with a wrong spirit. And you watch people that preach truth with an ugly spirit. You watch people that are divisive. See, what happens is, they'll take some truth that's not a major truth, not like the blood, not like the inspiration of the Bible, deity of Christ, salvation by grace, but some truth that's of not major significance, though it is some significance, but they'll divide the body of Christ over it. And you watch people. I was out in on the East Coast preaching. I preached on a Monday night, on Tuesday morning, and Tuesday afternoon. It was at a convention meeting, nationwide convention. A pastor of the church got up and I finished preaching on Tuesday afternoon. And he said, "I want to tell you, I don't believe what Brother Hiles has said. I'd mentioned the fact that I believe the King James Bible, word for word, retains the Word of God." And he said, "Don't believe that. Now, I preached that night, didn't mention a word about the problem at all. I bragged on him, thanked him for letting him preach behind his pulpit, and I bragged on him. Now, you see, look, we got folks here that believe everything. Somebody came the other day to me and said, "Brother Howard, you believe in Christmas trees?" He said, "I think Christmas trees are of the devil." One fellow came to me and said, I think the Christmas trees are the devil if they're cut down. Live trees, but artificial trees are of God." I mean, folks, this is a collection of the whole world here. We got more nuts here per square foot than anybody in the world's got. Now, I'm saying that the truth is there are some truths that are not worthy of the dividing of the body of Christ. Paul mentioned, for example, eating meat sacrificed to idols. Paul said you shouldn't divide over that. You shouldn't dispute over that. Much less divide, you shouldn't dispute over it. Now, Paul said, "This is what I believe and this is what I practice, but this is not an issue big enough." And I'll be quite frank with you. I don't think we ought to divide over Christmas trees. Halloween maybe, but not Christmas trees. We got folks here that have got a sour spirit and commit a worse sin than having a Halloween party because they're against Halloween parties. And I know somebody right now is bristling. You're what I'm talking to. I'm saying that all of us have strange convictions. For example, I will not eat out on Sunday. I think it's of the devil. Now, I'll go to 7-Eleven and buy or Whitey and Pantry and buy a paper on Sunday. That's of God. And the things that you make such a big issue over are just as wacky as mine. I can recall years ago, Ms. Howes and I were sitting at a drive-in place in East Texas. It's been good night. It's been 38, 40 years. Are you listening to me? 38 to 40 years ago. And it's amazing how much you strong fundamentalists, how much you don't say amen as much when I'm preaching on your sins as I'm preaching on others. But it's there's silence in heaven over the space of 30 minutes. But anyway, we're sitting at a restaurant on a Sunday night after church at the Neely's Barbecue in Marshall, Texas. On a Sunday night after church. And they got the best barbecue there in the world. They ship it straight from heaven, and it is out of this world, and that's why it came from heaven. And we're sitting there, a couple over here in the car next to us. Back in the days when you didn't drive through to get something, you drove up and the waitress came out to the car. And brought us out of the car. And over here was a couple. And they went to our church. And they looked over and they said, Brother Hiles, this is Sunday. And I said, I know. She said, I just never would have thought that you would have eaten out on Sunday. That's a strange thing. She was eating out on Sunday. But I'm not supposed to eat out on Sunday. Immediately, after I got my barbecue, I said to God, I'll never eat out on Sunday again. I don't eat out on Sunday. Some of you folks, for example, you won't eat in restaurants that serve liquor. But you'll fly on an airplane that's nothing but a flying tavern. Sit still. And you'll buy your clothes in a store that sells bikinis. Sit still. Now, for example, Ms. Howes and I used to drive to Dallas a lot on a Sunday night after church. We'd go to a little town called Mineola, Texas, halfway between Marshall and Dallas, and we'd get there about 11:30. It's the only place that had anything open that time, not a restaurant open, and we'd sit out there in front of that stupid restaurant from 11:30 to 12:01 on a Sunday night to keep from eating on Sunday. But eating out on Sunday. That's silly, isn't it? Yeah, it's as silly as some of the convictions you got, too. See? I mean, it's stupid. Now, the truth is, I don't eat out on Sunday. I mean, they'll be making icicles in the Booger Man's place before I'll eat out on Sunday. I just don't do it. But I'm not going to make an issue out of that. I mean, you folks that are not as good a Christian as I am can go ahead and keep eating out on Sunday. It's exactly the one I had in mind. Now, what I will do, I'll go across the state line over here where the time zone changes, and I'll and it may be Sunday over here, but anyway. Now, I'm saying, when I was preaching in this church out east, this convention, I didn't cause the fellow any trouble. I was preaching in a church in Midwest. Oh, it's been 2 or 3 years ago. And I preached on a Monday night. Well, during the service, I noticed some folks back in the back kept, ushers kept coming in. I mean, in and out. And they had a bunch of ladies sitting back there in the back two rows. And the ushers came in, lady get out, and usher would leave, and another lady would leave, and some more would come back in. And for about 30 minutes, back in the back, it was just like a busy street corner, downtown street. And so I said, I wish you folks back in the back would get in or get out. Well, I found out, this is sort of a touchy subject, but I found out that they had a rule there that the ladies that were nursing babies could sit back in the back of the church. So they'd send a word, the baby was crying, it's time to nurse the baby. The ladies had just come, nurse the baby, go back in the service again. Well, after the service, we had a great service that night. Good night, as usual. I preached a marvelous message. And we had a great service that night. And I got back to my room, watching HBO, I forget what was on. The phone rang. And I said, hello. I just thought that'd be a good thing to say. It was the pastor of the church. He said, Brother Hiles, the meeting is over. He said, we'll have no meetings tomorrow morning and tomorrow night. This was a convention, by the way, a state convention. And folks were there from all over the state who loved me, and they came to hear me preach. And his people loved me, too. Three of them did. But he said, why? He said, because you insulted those ladies back there that tonight and who were nursing their babies. And he said, you insulted them. And he said, meeting is over. He said, I'm not going to have you anymore. He was a young man, 55 or so. And I'm guessing he's a young man, 30, 35 years of age. And I said, now, son, listen to me for a minute. I don't want to come back tomorrow morning. I'd like to go back home where people love me. I don't want to go back tomorrow night. I'd rather close the meeting down. But I said, now, son, it's going to hurt you. Because there are people coming from all over the state tomorrow to hear Dr. Hiles preach. And tomorrow night, you'll have that house filled with people to hear Dr. Hiles preach. Now, why don't we agree that I'll never preach for you again? And we'll love each other, but we'll not fellowship together anymore after tomorrow night. But I said, for your sake, the sake of your church, you don't need to have to tell those people that come. Some of your people love me, and they're going to come tomorrow night, tomorrow morning, tomorrow night. They want to hear me preach. And if you tell them you cancel this thing out, you're going to get the blame, not me. And I haven't got to live here with it. I'll go back to Hammond. But I said, you got to live with this thing. I said, now, why don't we have an agreement? I said, now, it's for your sake. Let me preach tomorrow morning. I won't bother you. I won't cause you any trouble. And again, tomorrow night, after it's over, we'll just shake hands and we'll be friends forever. But that's all. We'll not have each other pray. And he said, you're right. And I tried to help him, and I wouldn't hurt him. Now, I'm trying to say, folks, there is a way to stand against wrong. And it's amazing what one person can do who has a truth with the spirit of error. Now, number three, one bit can change truth into error. One little bit can change truth into error. For example, somebody says, I believe in the Bible is inspired by God, but I believe it's the thoughts that are inspired and not the words. That one bit has changed truth into error. It's changed truth into heresy. No, the thoughts of this book aren't inspired. The words of this book are inspired. As I said not long ago, I said, you believe in verbal inspiration of the Bible? No, I believe every jot and tittle is inspired. So I believe in tittle inspiration of the Bible. That's a new term I'm going to start. In fact, I've mentioned it around the country, and preachers like it. Tittle. I believe in jottle and tittle inspiration of the Bible. But anyway, take the matter of creation. I believe that God created heaven and the earth from nothing. But into many of our colleges, and some are in this area, this heresy of creation, but what they call theistic evolution. God made the blob, and the blob
evolved.
No, God made man, and Adam had two legs and two arms and 10 fingers and 10 toes and 1 nose and 1 tongue and 2 holes in his nose. And we didn't evolve. A man didn't evolve. Once there was an amoeba beginning to begin. Then there was a tadpole, my tail tucked in. Then there was a monkey hanging from a tree, and now I'm a theologian with a PhD. But but you see, you take that one thing, and you say, I believe in creation, but then you put theistic evolution, and you've got heresy. Take the matter of salvation. You take, say, I believe in salvation by grace through faith, if you accept Jesus as your Savior and your Lord. Now, that's heresy. You don't accept Jesus as your Lord to get saved. You accept Him as your Savior to get saved. And the Lordship of Christ is a gradual process, like sanctification. As you yield more to Him and more to Him, He becomes more Lord of your life and more Lord of your life. So when we awaken His likeness, then we will be sanctified and be like Him, and He'll be the Lord of our lives. But it's heresy. It's false teaching. It's not Bible doctrine or Baptist doctrine for somebody to say that unless He's the Lord of your life, you're not saved. That's poppycock. The truth is, He never will be the Lord of your life as long as you're dragging this flesh around with you. I said, number one, it's amazing what one person can do who brings in error. I said, number two, it's amazing what one person can do who brings in a truth with a spirit of error. Number three, it's amazing what one person can do who, when he changes one bit of truth into error. Number four, the poison is not always error. Now, here's the sermon. The poison is not always error. This poison in the 2 Kings chapter 4, the story we read a while ago, was not poison. It was an excess of a certain kind of fruit that was used for medicinal purposes. For example, it was called the Cola Quinta, or some folks call it the Cola Quintita weed, or fruit, and it was about the size of an orange. Now, used judiciously, it was a good medicine, or was used for medicinal purposes. Everything in that pottage, now hear me, everything in that pottage was good. There was no poison in that pottage. Everything in that pottage was good. But there was an excess, or pardon me, there was wrong proportion of good. Brother Colston.
Are you a little hungry? I thought you were a little hungry. Brother Colston, I got some good news for you. You like cereal? You like cereal?
All right, I'm going to serve you just a little bit of cereal here. And I want to serve you a little bit of cereal.
Let me pour the milk in here first.
And we'll get the milk. Milk poured in, and I want to be sure and get the milk in here. Okay, there's the milk. I want to get the sugar in here also. Here, a little bit. You like cereal, don't you, Brother John? You got yourself all ready there? All right, let's get a little bit of sugar here. All right. Now we got the milk, and we got the sugar. Now, let's get the cereal here. What a man. What a man. Boy, if I don't do this, I'm in trouble. All right. All right, there's the sugar, the milk,
and the cereal.
Anything wrong?
Not enough milk? Not enough sugar? Okay. Okay. Sugar? Okay. What's wrong?
Diabetic coma here.
You got a diabetic coma, huh? Now, you see, I used all the ingredients that are right. You're supposed to have cereal, supposed to have milk, you're supposed to have sugar. Now, that's exactly what was wrong with this situation here. There's nothing wrong at all with what was in the pottage. There was something wrong with proportion. What was in the pottage? A thing that was used for medicinal purposes. Well, John, you can just keep that and be nibbling on it if you like during the service.
Sit down beside you there.
You go to sleep, you're going to knock it over, John. You better slide it over a little bit. Now, you see, the Christian life is that way. There are a lot of people in the Christian life who have every quality, but they don't have the right proportion of the qualities. So this cola quinta fruit that was used in proper proportion and judiciously for medicinal purposes became poison to the pottage when it was used in the wrong proportion. Basically, that's what happened. That's where Jim Jones has come from. That's what happened. That's where they come from. I mean, an unbalanced proportion. Now, let me say this. I said, number one, it's amazing what one person can do who brings in error. I said, number two, amazing what one person can do who brings in truth with the spirit of error. Number three, it's amazing what one bit can do to change truth into error. Number three, I said, the poison is not always error. It's sometimes an abundance of good. Number five, good doctrine used to excess is poisonous. Good doctrine used to excess is poisonous. It'll kill a church. A church will die on an all prophecy, listen to me, all prophecy menu. It'll die. You can preach on the rapture, the second coming, the Antichrist, the battle of Armageddon, the man of sin, the false prophet, and the Roman Empire's revival. you can kill a church. Now, don't misunderstand me. We ought to know something about the prophetic truth of God, but that's only one part of the recipe, and a church can die if a truth is used to excess. For example, take the doctrine of baptism. Person can preach on baptism too much, and it could kill a church. Or even the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. Or the doctrine of even salvation. Why, I know a preacher could preach on salvation every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night, and destroy a church. The Bible says we declare the whole counsel of God, the whole recipe of God, all the Word of God. We're to have a balanced recipe menu for the people, and good doctrine used to excess poisons and puts death in the pot. Let me say this, you hear me carefully. Avoid one doctrine people. Avoid them. Would you mind going to McDonald's with me for a few minutes, she may say, or he may say? I'd like to talk to you about something. And so he takes out his Bible, or she takes out her Bible, and points to a doctrine. And they may be right on that doctrine. Usually, they're pretty close to right on the doctrine. And then they start pointing out how that this particular church or this particular preacher is wrong on this and preaching heresy, only one doctrine in the Bible. Now, you avoid one doctrine people. I said you avoid one doctrine people. I said you say, how do you avoid them? You say, goodbye is a good way. Or no is a good word. Would you mind going to McDonald's? I'll talk to you a while. No. No. What do you mean by that? I mean, uh-uh. No. And you go and you find out then they're one of these one-issue people, one-doctrine people. Then they say, I'm sorry, I've got to go. I don't do that. I don't do it. I rarely ever eat out after church. I eat a lot in. I eat in after church. But I rarely ever eat out after church. As you know, I only eat 1,000 calories a day. I've done that for years now, just 1,000 calories a day, 7,000 at night. But I don't eat out after church. And the reason is I'm sick and tired of preachers gossiping. Sick of it. I'm sick of critical preachers. I'm sick of it. I don't do it. Don't participate in it. But I was down with my good friend, Dr. Bob Gray, and I love the guy, and he's a dear friend, and we're the same age. Well, he's much older than I, really, 3 months. But he loves to eat out after church. And so he said, Brother Jack, now come on, let's eat out after church. Okay, I'll do it. So we had a guest, another guest preacher, and a guest soloist, and we went out to eat a bite, and we're eating at this beautiful, gorgeous place. I mean, it was elite all the way. And as he was eating his Big Mac, I was eating my quarter pounder with cheese. But anyway, we were eating there, and it was not in a McDonald's, but it was in a place, I'm not sure whether it was a Denny's or a Bob Evans, that type of place. Somebody mentioned something about a church down in Connersville that had split. Then later on had a revival, and we're talking about that wonderful revival they had when these two churches got back together. And the singer said, it wouldn't have happened if Roy Thompson hadn't done what he did. Well, Roy Thompson is pastor of a church in Cleveland, Ohio, and he happened to be my friend. And I said, Roy Thompson didn't do that. Just shot right back. And he said, yes, he did. I said, no, he didn't. He said, what do you know about it? I said, nothing, but I know Roy Thompson. Now, I said, I came here to eat, not to listen to one of my friends criticize. Now, we quit criticizing Roy Thompson. You can eat by yourself, or I'll go back to my room and eat a bite, but I'm not going to sit here. I'm not going to do it. Now, if you want to sit around and listen to preachers criticize and people criticize and hear the chat-chat and the gossip and the yak-yak, you do it. But I'm not going to spend my life that way. I've got one life to live, and I'm not going to spend it going to garbage cans to find out who ran off with somebody else's wife or somebody else's husband or who just got drunk or who just got pregnant out of wedlock. I'm not interested in that. There's too much good in this book to talk about. Talk about garbage like it. I'm not going to do it. So I'm saying that's the way about doctrine. Somebody comes along and they take something that is a good doctrine used to excess. Nothing wrong with that milk. Nothing wrong with that sugar. Nothing wrong with that cereal. But you put a half a box of cereal and 2 drops of milk and 2 pinches of sugar, and that's not the right proportion. You won't get any nourishment out of that. Now, if you take a half a box of cereal and a half a gallon of milk and half of a pound of sugar and anyhow, if you don't get the right proportion. Neither thing I gave Brother Colston a while ago would help him. I mean, what he's got now would have no nourishment. And what he had a while ago, he'd have choked to death on it. Come to think of it, eat it, John. But I'm saying, listen, folks, what so many people across this world have been led astray by people that used a good doctrine to excess. And that's all they talk about. That's all they're interested in. It's all that they dwell on. Now look, you watch that. I'm not trying to hurt them. I'm not trying to make... And by the way, I'm not trying to make anybody hurt. I'm trying to help you because these 57 people I mentioned a while ago are out of God's Word. I mean, the 20 I mentioned, the 7 I mentioned, and the 30 I mentioned, and you can check them for yourself. I asked a certain pastor out west the other day, or he was talking to me, And I asked him about so-and-so. He said, they were a part of a group that was influenced by one man. And he said there are several influenced by that one man, and not a one of them are in God's work anymore. Not a one of them. Now, I'm trying to help you. I said a while ago, follow the flow of the majority of good people. Not the majority of people, but the majority of good people. Number six, good convictions used to excess are poisonous. We had a graduate of our college, good man, fine man, who agreed with me on ladies wearing pants. I don't think that ladies ought to wear pants any more than men ought to wear skirts. But this guy went to this church in the first three or four Sundays. He just preached Sunday morning and Sunday night against women wearing pants. He said, no deacon's wife in this church is going to wear pants. Well, it's not a good idea if you take a new church to take on the deacon's wives first. You don't start off with Mike Tyson and work your way down. And the guy didn't last but a couple of months. Why? I agreed with him on the conviction. I did not agree with him on the emphasis of it and the fact that he was using that doctrine to excess. There are people here in this room tonight who wear, ladies with the dozens who wear pants, and I, you're faithful members of this church, and I love you. We disagree on one thing, but I love you. But I don't preach every Sunday night and every Sunday morning and every Wednesday night on that one subject. I try to give you a balanced diet. Communism. I know churches that have choked to death and been poisoned by too many sermons on anti-communism. I know churches have been poisoned and died by an overemphasis or an excess of stressing anti-abortion. I know churches that have been poisoned on excess of sermons on anti-gay rights. I know churches that have been destroyed on too much preaching on storehouse tithing. I know one church is destroyed because a preacher got on a kick about lodges, and he preached on lodges. And by the way, I'm not for lodges. I'm not. I could not constantly belong to a lodge. Would not advise anybody to. But I'm simply saying that you watch these one conviction people. Like I said, eating where liquor is served. That becomes they get a crusade on the thing. So avoid one conviction people, avoid one issue people. Now folks, listen to me. I'm against as many things or more than anybody in this room. But I do not believe that there's only one verse in the Bible or one doctrine in the Bible or one conviction in the Bible or one standard in the Bible. There are many. And God wants us to be well-balanced, well-rounded people. But look, it's so exciting to crusade about something. I mean, you know, I got a telegram of the day from a good man, friend of mine. He's in Atlanta in jail. He's down there, had a bunch of people laying down in front of these abortion clinics. Now, I'm for him. You know, I never understood this. You know, they're marching up and down the sidewalks these days, saying you shouldn't wear mink coats. Now, personally, mink coats don't bother me at all. They bother me all men. It bothers the fire to me all men. The other day I saw Tony Dorsett in one. I just punched him right in the nose. But take that out of the sermon, by the way. But anyway, you know why. But anyway, but understand. They say, no mink coat. And yet they're wearing leather shoes. I mean, the leather on the bottom of their shoes they're using to march on. See, don't kill the mink. Don't kill the fox. Not right. But of course, I got leather shoes on. But here's the strange thing about it. That same crowd don't mind killing babies. We had a Halloween party. Oh, I was against it, though. I said, no, bad. They had a Halloween party.
And I'm not sure I would have done this, but our kids down there, they burned a rat. I don't know what denomination he is, liberal preacher. I don't, but they actually burned a rat. I mean a rodent rat. You should have heard they had a whole talk show in Chicago, one of the major stations, criticizing us for burning that rat. We gave out some baby chicks. I said, no, it's not nice. No way. Brother Ray said, we're going to do it. And, but you know, the whole town almost crucified me for it. So, I had to go out to the prosecutor's office. I had to take a lawyer with me. I was talking to the guy in the prosecutor's office. He says, is it true that your church got baby chicks? I said, Ray Young. I mean, and I said, that's not right. No, no, no. I said, yeah, we did. I said, I did something worse than that. And the prosecutor, one of the prosecutors said, what? I said, I ate their mother. I shouldn't have done that. In fact, the following few days was when I wrote my first prison epistle. Aren't we wacky? I mean, this guy called me on the phone, sent me a telegram. You thought I'd forgotten it. I had. That's why I've been marking time till I come back to it. He said, come on down to Atlanta and take your stand and join us in jail. Now, I hate the killing of 1.5 million babies in America like I hate any other kind of murder. But you can destroy a church if you preach every Sunday morning on that. Now, you watch churches that are one-issue churches, one-conviction churches, churches that are one-doctrine churches, and then may I say this also, I said, number one, it's amazing what one person can do who brings an era. I said, it's amazing what one person can do who brings in a truth with the spirit of era. I said, number three, it's amazing how one bit can change truth into era. I said, number four, the poison is not always era. It may be an abundance of truth, an excess of truth. I said, number five, good doctrine used to excess is poisonous. I said, good conviction used to excess is poison. Number six and number seven and last, good activity used to excess is poisonous. You could pray 40 hours a week and that could be poisonous unless you did other things you're supposed to do too. You're not supposed to pray at the expense of soul winning. You're not supposed to go soul winning at the expense of prayer. You're not supposed to go soul winning at the expense of your Bible. You're not supposed to read your Bible at the expense of soul winning. You're not supposed to read your Bible at the expense of prayer or pray at the expense of Bible reading. You see, the Christian life is a well-balanced thing. And any excess of good can become poison. These preacher boys sitting around the pottage, and somebody said, there's death in the pot, there's death in the pot! Hey, what kind of poison's there? No kind of poison's there. None. No. The truth is, it's an excess of something good in that pot. Now listen carefully. I'm trying to help you tonight. This church is going to... some guy takes 30 people off on a one-issue trip. 30 people out of this audience tonight is not... as far as the numbers are concerned, we wouldn't even know you were gone. But as far as individuals are concerned, you're important to me. I'm not trying to save a church, though it's, I think church is worth saving. Tonight, I'm trying to save you. I'm trying to save you from having an excess of something that's good. I'm trying to save you from a one-issue people, from one doctrine people, from one conviction people. I'm trying to save you from an excess of good. When they said there's death in the pot, there was no poison in that pot. Take it as medicine, and that chloroquinta weed, while fruit was fine.
looked like an orange. It was good for medicinal purposes. Used carefully and used judiciously, it was good.
But too much of it would have killed every single preacher boy in that school. I've known schools to get off on a tangent. I've known churches get off on a tangent. You come to First Baptist Church of Hammond for a year, and I'll guarantee you, brother, you'll get a well-rounded diet. I'll guarantee you. Yes, sir, you'll hear sermons on soul winning, and I'll tell you you're not right with God unless you're a soul winner. And I'll tell you that the Great Commission is not given just to a few people, but to everybody. And preach the gospel is not given to preachers, it's given to laymen too. And I'll come, turn around then, and I'll teach you a dozen lessons maybe on prayer, and teach you how to pray, and then I'll teach you on the Bible, then I'll teach you on the devil, and then I'll teach you on the Holy Spirit. And why? Because all doctrine and all scripture and all conviction are important. Now look at yourself tonight. Number one, have you been hanging around some one-issue people? I'm not saying you ought to be unkind to anybody. I'm not trying to hurt these people. I'm trying to keep them from hurting you. I'm a little weary of letting people, one-issue oriented, one conviction, one scripture, one doctrine, come in and steal the sheep, worse than that, kill the sheep, worse than that, poison the sheep. A little sick of it. Now, because I'm a gentleman, and I am, I do not attack from this pulpit. Don't do it. I'm not that kind of person. I'm not the kind of person that gets up and calls a bunch of names. I'm not that kind of person. But I am the kind of person that does not want you to be out of God's service. I don't want you following. Listen, look. Did you know that you can only follow the spectacular for so long? After a while, the spectacular comes the normal. Becomes the normal. You can, for example, I've been kidding a lot about this sermon title tonight, when poison is not poison. It's amazing how you've lost it. But anyway, I've been kidding about that. But I don't, this church wasn't built on spectacular sermons. You don't pick up the Hammond Times and read First Baptist Church, Hiles is preaching on what is the unpardonable sin next Sunday night. That's why these talk shows in America have gone to the devil. Because they're built on the spectacular, and after a while, the spectacular becomes the perversion. And then you got incest. Then you got homosexuality. Why? Because they're building their entire premise is built on the spectacular. After a while, you're running out of the spectacular. Jack Van Impe years ago put out his newspaper. He had a headline up there, "Why Kissinger is the Antichrist." I couldn't believe what I read. I called him on the phone. I said, "Brother Jack, you can't build a ministry on that." I said, "Your paper said Kissinger's Antichrist." I said, "First place, Kissinger's not the Antichrist. McGovern is the Antichrist. Or Dukakis, now." But, you see, I don't build a church on that. I don't think you ought to come on Sunday night because I'm preaching on a certain sermon. I think you ought to come on Sunday night because it's Sunday night. You see. So, good activity used to excess. Always, excess in one area causes neglect in another. You know what I said? Excess in one area causes neglect in another. Now get yourself balanced. That's what Jesus meant when he said, "Be ye therefore perfect." The word perfect there means complete. Be ye therefore perfect, having all the faculties, all of them. A perfect body is one that has two eyes, two ears, one tongue, one nose, two hands, 10 fingers, 2 legs, 10 toes. Has all the parts. Complete body. Doesn't mean it's perfect. Doesn't mean it always never does any wrong. It's just a complete body. And God wants us to be complete. He wants us to be complete Christians. He wants you to be a person of prayer. Same time, He wants you to be a person of Bible study. The same time, He wants you to be a person of soul winning. The same time, He wants you to be a person. This prayer thing I've been, or talking to God on Wednesday night, I've been teaching you. I said, every day, you ought to praise God some. I'm talking about having a spell, throwing a fit. Glory to God, hallelujah, praise God, and the Lamb forever. I'm talking about that. I said, then you ought to worship God. You ought to come to God in the devotional kind of an adoration. You ought to spend some time every day in adoring and worshiping our wonderful Savior. And I said, you ought to spend some time confessing your sins. Then some time asking God. Even within the activities, we're supposed to be well balanced. Look at your life tonight. You off on some tangent? Not only error, but an excess of good.
Just like you.
What's the poison? But not only that. Also watch that which is not poison, which is used to excess. Whether it be a truth, an activity, conviction, a doctrine, or an issue. Shall we pray?